The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
What kind of persuasion about Jesus leads to eternal salvation? And what are the options? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. I am Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. I think we've got an interesting show for you today. We're taking questions from listeners just like you, and if you've got questions, send them to us. We have email, you know. Our email is radio@faithalone.org, and we look forward to hearing from you. Now, we look forward to more than just hearing from you. We actually hope to see you at this year's National Bible Conference. Our National Bible Conference is a great experience every year. You can find out more about that by going to faithalone.org and clicking on events. Well, let's get right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. I'm just so pleased that we're getting more and more questions from all over the place. You're learning to send your questions to radio@faithalone.org.
I think we just went over our millionth question, didn't we?
Millionth question, maybe. I don't know. Let's see here. Here's a question from Paul, and he says, great radio show. I enjoy listening every day. Well, thanks for listening, Paul. And he says, how is it that people are not persuaded by what I would consider uncontroverted evidence? I'm thinking about John 11:46-48, after Lazarus was raised from the dead. Is it possible that some thought this was staged and not persuaded that it was real, even after seeing with their own eyes? They admitted that Jesus was doing many miracles, so I would assume they knew it was real. Since belief isn't a choice, how do we understand this? It's difficult to understand Judas as well. Looking forward to your thoughts on this.
I would say probably we make a mistake when we say either you're persuaded or you're not persuaded.
Uh-huh.
Because those aren't the only options. I mean, yes, you're either persuaded or not persuaded. But if you're not persuaded, there are now sub-options under that.
Right.
You might be not persuaded, but you're interested.
Right.
Or maybe you're not persuaded, but you're intrigued.
Yeah.
Or you're leaning in the direction, this may well be true.
Right.
Or you can't somehow reconcile this with other facts.
Right.
And so putting it all together, what you have is some people, when they're not persuaded, are open.
Yeah.
And other people who are not persuaded are closed.
Right.
In fact, you'll remember, isn't it the beginning of John chapter 12, that the Jewish authorities were seeking to kill Lazarus?
Yes, to kind of kill the evidence.
Right.
So they believed, they saw the evidence, they believed it. They actually believed it from the reports they heard. Then they believed it from the evidence they saw with their own eyes. But that didn't persuade them to believe that Jesus was the Messiah. That persuaded them that they needed to kill him.
Right. A lot of people who heard the report, or let's take, how about the people who were actually present and actually saw Lazarus come out of the tomb?
Yeah.
And they had been there when he died, right?
Yes.
So they've been there through the whole process, and they've been grieving, and now he comes out.
Right.
It seems to me most all of those people were persuaded that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead.
Right.
Now, a small number of them might think, wait a minute, he just revived in the cool tomb.
Sure.
But that would be someone who was grasping for straws because, as the sister said, there's going to be a stench after 4 days.
Sure.
Why are you opening the tomb? Why are you bringing him out? He's going to stink.
Yeah.
And so most of the people would have been persuaded he rose from the dead. But being persuaded he rose from the dead, as you just mentioned, is not the same as being persuaded he's the Messiah.
No. So being persuaded that the fact happens is not the same thing as being persuaded of the correct interpretation of the fact.
That's a good way to put
it,
Sean.
Don't you think?
So you have to interpret facts.
What does this mean that
right.
he came alive from the dead? Because think of how most of the Pharisees, when Jesus was exercising people, I don't mean giving them push-ups to do.
Yeah.
I mean taking
casting
demons, casting
out
demons.
They said he did it by Satan.
By Satan. So they believed that he was casting demons out of people.
But they interpreted it incorrectly.
They interpreted it as that's proof that he comes from the devil.
That's a great point.
So now
John,
that's something else. And then Jesus tried to argue with them. He tried to persuade them. What sense does that make if Satan is casting his own guy? If a kingdom is divided against itself,
right.
how can it stand? So Jesus says, and what do you say about your own sons? Your own
right.
sons exercise. Are
right.
you saying they're casting by the demons? So he's trying to persuade them of a new belief that, hey, I'm not doing this by the power of Satan, guys. That doesn't even make any sense. But if I do this by the finger of God, then you know that the kingdom of God has come upon you.
That's good.
So they were persuaded of the exorcism, but they weren't persuaded of the correct reason or the meaning of it. And so Jesus is trying to persuade them of that next part. I'm from God, guys.
Right. And the same thing with the Jewish authorities were persuaded that Lazarus had risen from the dead and Jesus had done it. But they didn't come to the right interpretation.
Right.
You had other people, however, some came to faith when Lazarus had risen from the dead. Not just faith that he rose from the dead, but faith that, yes, Jesus is Messiah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that he gives eternal life to those who believe in him. He's been telling the truth. And so it seems to me you have a couple of different responses. One, some people are persuaded that Lazarus rose from the dead and are persuaded that Jesus is the Messiah Savior. Some are persuaded that Lazarus rose from the dead and are not yet persuaded that Jesus is the Messiah and the Savior, but they're open.
Yeah.
And they're seeking. And some are persuaded that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, but they're persuaded he's a false Messiah. Basically, what we're saying, Sean, is this. If a person is persuaded, let's say that Lazarus was raised from the dead,
yeah,
that might lead them to faith in Jesus as the Messiah and the Savior.
Right.
Or it might lead them to be open to that.
Right.
So that they would then seek God and pray about this.
Yeah.
But it also might lead them to be afraid that this person they're already convinced is a false Messiah is going to mislead other people. So now they want to kill Lazarus and they want to kill Jesus.
Right. And think about what happens today. All of the cults believe that Jesus rose from the dead.
Right.
Right? And they'll say, see, our belief is it's miraculous, and the proof is that Jesus rose from the dead. Therefore, you should join the Mormon Church, or you should join the Jehovah's Witnesses, or you should be Catholic, or you should be Orthodox. And so they're taking the fact of the resurrection, and someone can be persuaded of the fact of the resurrection, but they're using it and explaining it in terms of their worldview, their context, their theological paradigm. And so the fact itself is really not enough. I mean, it doesn't interpret itself.
That's a good point. Let me come back to Paul's question, because Paul's saying, how could they not be persuaded? And he means, I think, not just persuaded that Lazarus rose from the dead, but being persuaded that Jesus is the giver of eternal life, right?
Right. Right.
And here would be my point. Aren't there a lot of people in Christianity today, even some people who identify as free grace, who would say, if you're persuaded that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again, then you're born again whether you believe it or not.
Right.
You have everlasting life.
Because that's all you need to believe, yeah.
Right. And so there are a lot of people who misinterpret the resurrection of Jesus.
Yeah, they misinterpret what it proves.
Right. They think it proves that if you believe he died for your sins and rose again, then you're born again, whether you believe you're born again, whether you believe you have everlasting life, whether you believe in the gift of God or not.
Yeah.
And the truth is, the death and resurrection of Jesus prove that he is indeed the Christ, the Son of God,
right,
who guarantees the eternal destiny of all who believe in him.
Right. Now the good news is, if someone is persuaded that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, they'll probably be more open to the idea that whoever believes in Jesus will never die.
Right.
You know, that'll make sense to them.
And John 11:26.
If they believe that Jesus has the power to give life like that, or the authority to do it, then they'll probably be more likely to believe that, no, he has the authority to give me everlasting life if I believe in him.
Right.
You know, that could be a stepping stone, but it just doesn't explain itself on its own. You need that more preaching, you need that promise to be proclaimed. Now, Paul's last question is, and it's also difficult to understand Judas as well. Now, that's a very, he is a hard case because he sees all this stuff.
Sean, you're throwing this up in the last couple of minutes.
Oh, that's right.
Here?
It's like 30
okay.
seconds left.
No.
But he sees these miracles. He hears the teachings. And yet somehow Jesus disappoints him and he betrays Jesus.
Okay. Well, Judas is a different kind of animal because here's somebody who probably was drawn by the Holy Spirit to Christ more than any other person in human history,
right,
with the possible exception of Saul of Tarsus. And I think Judas was drawn more than Saul because Saul, saw Jesus on the road to Damascus for this short one incident.
Sure.
Judas was around for 3.5 years.
Yeah.
Judas saw all the miracles.
Oh, yeah.
Judas heard the reports of the Mount of Transfiguration.
Right.
He was around with all that, and yet he never came to faith.
Yeah.
Why? Well, I think it's because Judas was convinced that at least up until the time he betrayed him, Jesus was a prophet. Maybe that Jesus was someone sent from God. But that he must have believed that Jesus was deluded in his claim to be Messiah, and Jesus was wrong in his claim that if you simply believe in him, you have eternal life.
Right.
So he evidently believed the idea that was prevalent in the first century that good Jews get into the kingdom and bad Jews don't.
Right.
And so Jesus never persuaded him that that was wrong. But he didn't actually get around to betraying Jesus until the end. Why? I think it's because of the providence of God, that God sovereignly wouldn't allow him to do it before. Mm. But also, there was something about 30 pieces of silver, which is kind of dumb.
I mean, I think it was at the Last Supper. Isn't that when Satan enters into Judas? So that was somehow there was a moment there that was definitely decisive.
Right.
It almost sounds like he gets possessed at that point. I mean, I don't know what it means for Satan to enter into someone, but it sounds like something analogous to possession. I don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, and that's a good point. But the bottom line is, yeah, Paul, I don't get Judas either. I mean, I would think if a million people saw what Judas saw, 999,000 of them would come to faith in him.
This is like Jesus saying, Capernaum, woe is you.
Right. That's good, Sean.
If these other cities had seen what you had seen, man, they would have repented.
Right.
We don't know, Paul. I mean, God knows. And I guess we'll just have to leave those questions to him, which I'm comfortable doing.
Right.
I'm comfortable saying, I don't know, but God knows, and he's going to do the right thing. But thanks for listening, and I hope you continue listening to our program. Thank you for your support. Thank you for your reviews on iTunes and other places. Those really, really help us. If you give us 5 stars and write something, if you write something that really bumps us up in the ratings. So I really appreciate it. We'll see you guys next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Do you like what you're learning on the show? Well, there's more where that came from. We would love for you to come visit us at our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We've got all kinds of free resources on our site. One of which is really popular, is our free magazine. It comes out 6 times a year. It's full color and it's completely free. Subscribe on the website and it will show up in your mailbox hassle free. It's faithalone.org. Another reason to visit the site is to learn a little bit more about becoming a financial partner with Grace in Focus. All gifts are tax deductible and very much appreciated because it's how we stay on the air. You ever have one of those questions that keeps you up at night? I know that I do sometimes. Well, if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, we want to hear from you. Send us a message at radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. On tomorrow's episode of Grace in Focus, we're going to talk about the Trinity, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.